This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Classical music lovers had long heard about Mendelssohn's Easter Sonata, but they rarely heard the piece itself, and that's because the manuscript had gone missing. Now, people who know the work know that Mendelssohn wrote it, but there's been a question about which Mendelssohn, Felix or his sister Fanny. That's right, Felix wasn't the only composer in the household. Sister Fanny also wrote music, and for years, experts have speculated that she might be the true creator of the Easter Sonata. Still, without documentary proof, the suspicion would remain unconfirmed. Well, it appears Duke grad student Angela Mace has ended the debate. She says Fanny did indeed write the Easter Sonata, and Angela Mace is here now to tell us why she thinks so. Angela, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about this piece itself and the fact that the manuscript itself had gone missing.
Yes. There was only some documentary evidence that it had ever existed, a couple letters and a couple diary entries around 1829. After that, any evidence of the manuscript or sonata vanished. There's no more letters about it, nothing, which is typical for her compositional process. She composed something, performed it a few times in her home, and then it was put back on her bookshelf and never really played. And she only started publishing later in her life, so she only had about a year, year and a half to work with before she died when she started publishing. So we don't know if maybe she would have gone back and published this sonata. We just don't know. But the end of the story is that it did get relegated to silence at that point.
So, and then it resurfaces somewhere in the 1970s.
That's right. This sonata was in the family. Most likely, that's where all of her manuscripts remained throughout most of the 20th century. And then it was apparently sold off separately from the working manuscript, of which it was a part. And a private manuscript collector bought it and had his friend Eric Heidzik, a French pianist, record it in 1972 on the Cassiopeia label.
So now there's a recording, at least in 1972. People are hearing this piece. It's by Mendelssohn, but people are assuming that it's Felix.
That's right. Yeah, in the 1970s, little was known about Fanny Hensel's, the real extent of Fanny Hensel's.
And you say Hensel, that's her married name.
Yes, that's her
name. In fact, she was Felix's sister.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, I say Fanny. Most scholars will say Fanny Hensel, but yes, she is Fanny Mendelssohn Hensel. So not to confuse things. Yes. So, he recorded this sonata and performed. Eric Heidzik recorded this sonata and performed it upwards of 25 times on his concert tours. And then the CD itself, the LP at that time, of course, sort of fell into, once again, obscurity at that point. So,
well, let's listen to a little bit of it to get a sample. Small piece of Fanny Hensel's Easter Sonata. Of course, she was Mendelssohn at the time she wrote it, right?
That's right. She wrote it in 1828 and she got married in 1829.
All right. Now, what about the controversy? Was there a disagreement about who had written it, or had everybody assumed this was Felix's piece?
It's kind of hard to say because it sort of rose out of the absence of the manuscript, this sort of myth, this idea that perhaps he had written it. Because until the last 15, 20 years at the max, her letters weren't really known. Her diary wasn't published. This all sort of started coming out in the 1990s and early 2000s. So there's a couple catalogs that get published. Collection of Letters by Marcia Citrin was one of the seminal moments in kick-starting the Fanny Mendelssohn Hensel scholarship. So there just wasn't much known about her. And so this idea that she'd written a large sonata was
kind of in the air, but unprovable,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what got you interested in this?
Well, I had come to Duke to work on Felix Mendelssohn with R. Larry Todd, who is, of course, the American authority on Mendelssohn. He has his immense biography of Mendelssohn, as well as one of Hensel now. And he had told me about this mystery. And, of course, I was very intrigued. But at that time, there was just really nothing to do. But he was teaching a seminar on women in music in the fall of 2008. And one of his European colleagues had sent him a recording of this LP. And so he brought it to class and said, is this the Easter Sonata? And so for my semester project, I then did a documentary study of it and got all the information I could, all the letters, all the diary entries, all the catalog entries, put them side by side. And by then, you can sort of see quite easily that this sonata must be by Fanny Mendelssohn.
Why is that? You don't yet have the manuscript.
Right.
It's just in her style. The music itself is telling you.
Yes, the music is in her style, and all document evidence adds up.
I see.
It makes sense because she has a couple letters where she's talking about my Easter Sonata, and then her friend Carl Klingemann writes back and said, Felix played your Easter Sonata. So one person suggested that perhaps they had used these possessive terms in the idea that maybe Mendelssohn wrote this sonata and gave it to his sister as a gift. So then it's her sonata. However, I mean, it's clearly her sonata.
Right. So all this evidence is building up, still no manuscript. How do you find it?
So that sort of happened, again, by a stroke of luck. I was talking to John Supko, who was then a new hire in the composition department. He'd had a Fulbright had lived in Paris some years earlier, about 10 years earlier, I think. And Eric Heidzik, the pianist who recorded it, had lived in Paris. And so I just offhand asked him, do you know this name? And it sounded familiar to him. And he was able to get me through a network of friends his address and phone number. I wrote him a letter, and he was very excited to hear from me. And it started from there. So I went in May of 2010 to go visit him just to see what the story was. And at that point, we were also able to get an interview with the owner to see the manuscript.
So now you're laying eyes on the manuscript itself, and what does that tell you?
It tells me that, A, it is in Fanny Hensel's musical handwriting, which is distinct from Felix Mendelssohn's. It had a date a year earlier than we previously thought, because the documentary evidence doesn't start until 1829, when she starts keeping a diary. And there are page numbers in the lower right-hand corner that correspond to the manuscript it was removed from, that is now in possession of the Berlin Staatsbibliothek archive.
So yeah, there had been this archive and these missing pages.
Right.
And it corresponds beautifully with that.
That's right.
No signature, though.
No signature,
but everything else adds up. So it's in her handwriting. Now, I may be ignorant about this. Is it possible that she just made a copy for her brother?
That's one idea we sort of bandied around for a while, because there is this letter from Carl Klingemann, their friend, when he and Felix were on a walking tour in Scotland, and they ended up in Liverpool, and they got on this ship called the Napoleon. It was a packet ship that sailed from New York to Liverpool. And it had a piano on board, a Broadwood, mahogany Broadwood piano. And Carl Klingemann says, he sat down here in the middle of the Atlantic in this very strange place and played your Easter Sonata.
Uh-huh.
So
these possessive pronouns are still hanging us up.
That's right.
You're convinced it's hers. Tell us about female composers in the 19th century. Was it hard for them to get recognized, to be recognized?
Yes, it really depended on their social status, what they could do. Fanny Mendelssohn Hensel is part of the Mendelssohn family, of course, so she's from a prominent banking family. They are converts from Judaism to Lutheranism. Their grandfather is the very famous Jewish philosopher Moses Mendelssohn. So they come from an extremely eminent Jewish heritage, and they respected that their entire lives, but they made this choice to integrate and assimilate and become Protestants. So she has a lot to protect by not going out on stage and not becoming a public figure. And also there was a lot of discouragement from both her brother and her father not to go out and become a public figure.
And this was a kind of a taboo for particularly upper-class women to be seen on stage.
That's right.
Not a proper thing for a proper woman to be doing.
That's right.
But if you were middle class, if you were lower class, could you be – were there composers, successful in composers?
Yes. Clara Schumann would be one of the biggest examples. She was slightly lower class, so she could have this concertizing career. She could publish, and she could perform her own music, and it was not considered improper for her to do that. Then you have someone like Josephine Long, who's even lower class and has even less money than either Schumann or Mendelssohn. And so she is very disadvantaged by that, where she doesn't have the money to get the training. And she writes a lot of very nice lieder, but she doesn't have as much opportunity as either Clara Schumann or Fanny Mendelssohn.
So is this piece any good?
It's wonderful. The little bit we heard was from the recording by Eric Heidsieck of the first movement, which is very Beethovenian in style. The second movement is a prelude and fugue, which harkens back to Bach, and the Mendelssohns were right then very invested in the St. Matthew Passion Revival, which occurred in 1829. The third movement is a very effervescent scherzo with that sort of darkly tinged atmosphere to it that's very characteristic of this Mendelssohnian style. And the fourth movement is called Allegro con strepito, which is, I think, evoking the turbo chorus of the Passion, this Easter story. And then it ends with a lovely chorale, Christe du Lamb Gottes, Christ the Lamb of God.
Congratulations. Very cool. You must be excited.
Very excited.
And you're going to deliver a paper in New Orleans.
I am, yes, at the AMS meeting, the American Musicological Society.
Congratulations.
Thank
Angela,
you.
Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Angela Mace, grad student in the Duke University Musicology Program. Just ahead, Kevin Maurer joins us. He's been on the front lines in the war in Afghanistan. He's written a book. We'll talk to him about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.